We are now live on Wisdom. We are also live on YouTube. Awesome. Awesome. Oh. Okay. I had to close that because it was repeating it back at me. Alrighty, friends. Welcome, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through motherhood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I am so excited that you have decided to allow me on your journey with you. Today, I am so excited to welcome Leslie Davis to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. And friends, this is not the first time that I have had Leslie on the show. She was on last year when we were Rise and Shine with Emily C. So things have grown, things have evolved, and I'm so excited to have you back, Leslie.
I am so excited with what you're doing, Emily, because when I was a new mother, this is what I needed, because we've talked before, I was struggling. I had no clue what motherhood looked like, and, you know, some of your listeners may have to do some Googling, but I was using June Cleaver of Leave It to Beaver and Donna Reed from The Donna Reed Show as my models for what a mother should look like. And I was constantly questioning myself as to what it was that I was doing. And I tell people, I made it up as I went along. Well, the problem with that is I made a lot of mistakes that I didn't need to make. So I am so excited with what you are doing, because first of all, the thing that you're doing that is incredible is you are calling out the childhood trauma that drags forward and is triggered when you become a mother. Mm-hmm. You're calling it out and you're calling it what it is. But not only are you doing that, you're providing support to people like myself, like who I used to be. You're providing support to us, saying, you know what was is what was. Let's do what is together. And together we can learn how to do this differently and how to do it better. And we can do it with joy instead of feeling like I felt, like I was never enough, like the whole world was going to fall apart if I didn't hold everything so tightly in my grip. So anyway, long story short, Emily, I am so excited to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much again for being here. My apologies. I'm just going to call it out to the people listening on Wisdom. I had my headphones and my mic plugged into my Mac, and you did not hear the first bit of what Leslie was saying. And it took me a hot minute to figure out that it was because I had my earphones and my mic plugged in. So that is the reality of doing this live. Thank you for your patience. I will get there.
Well, so, you know, it's a learning experience, right?
So today, what we're going to talk about is why it's okay to put mama first. Because in our society, we are told that once you have a child, your life somehow ceases to exist, and your sole purpose is to be at the beck and call of that sweet little child, and your needs no longer matter. And here on the Mamahood After Trauma podcast, we are calling bull when bull is presented. And that is a bunch of baloney. So, Leslie, what do you have to share about this?
Well, one of the things that I wish that I would have learned back then that I have learned now is if Well, let's back up just a smidge. You have flown. I have flown. Many of your listeners, many of people who are watching us right now have flown. Part of that pre-flight information that they give you is put your own oxygen mask on before you help anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't really listen to it because, I mean, as many times as I've flown, I knew the whole thing by heart. Well, several years back, I saw a little episode on YouTube where it said you basically have 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. If you don't get your oxygen mask on within 30 seconds, and you're busy chasing other people down to put your oxygen mask on them, that plane is going to land. You're going to be laid out in the aisle. They're going to step over you and say, there's that nice person. And where are you going to be? And that was huge, because what I started recognizing is that I was chasing all these people down, including my own children, and putting my oxygen mask on them. And I was even guilty of putting oxygen masks or trying to put oxygen masks on people who didn't need them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting laid out in the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that nice person. And where was I? I was struggling. I was gasping. I felt as if I was dying inside. Mm-hmm. So when I started realizing, and this is so important, if you do not put your own oxygen mask on first,
yes,
AKA self-care,
mm-hmm,
you will have nothing to give.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing to give. And all that people are going to be saying is, there is that nice person. Now, it is so aggravating looking back. Oh, now you have that baby, your life is over. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard that, but I didn't understand that I could question that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, viscerally, internally, every part of my physical being was reacting and fighting against that. But mm-hmm, because I had been told that this is what I had to do, I believed that that's what I had to do, regardless of what the internal self was saying. Now I recognize it's more important to listen to that internal self than that external self. So if you are a mama out there, I don't care if your child is one day old or 100 years old, here's the secret. If you are not putting yourself first, taking care of what excites you, lights you up, refills, re-energizes you, you have absolutely nothing that you can give to your children, your family, your friends,
mm-hmm,
because you're pouring from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't serve anyone. You're not giving your best.
No, and another way that I like to look at this is, if you're in a group of people and you get a big splinter in your leg that inhibits you of walking, yet you're trying to carry somebody else to safety without taking the splinter out of your own darn leg, how helpful are you going to be to those other people that, like, It's silly.
Well, you may be helpful to them, but what is the consequence to you?
Yeah.
What is the consequence to you? And let's face it, each and every single one of us was put here on this earth for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And our purpose, let me tell you a secret, our purpose was not to have children and raise them up. Our purpose is to offer the best of ourselves so that we improve the world. And when we leave this world, we have left something amazing behind, and we're advancing whatever the heck it is we're advancing. It's almost as if you're saying you're going to bake a cake and then not enjoy it.
Yeah, you bake it, there and leave it there on the counter.
Right. Just leave it sitting there on the counter. You know, you made this cake. Great. Or you make an amazing meal and you just leave, mm-hmm, it sitting there on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our purpose. We were not designed to take care of everyone else. That's a lie that we've been told, and it goes back centuries, thousands of years. And if you look at who is perpetuating it, then you kind of understand why. But at the same time, society has said the same thing. Now, I was watching something about the Boeing airplanes and the Boeing, you know, company. During World War II, they needed to produce all these airplanes. Well, the men were off at war, right? So who did they bring in? They brought in the women. The women were extremely capable. They were very able to perform the job. They started believing in themselves. They started seeing possibilities. They started recognizing that there was life outside the home, where they had been told before that your life is here in the home. So when all the men returned, they're left going, wait a minute, what the heck just happened? Well, that's where a lot of us are. It's where a lot of us were. You know, we discovered you go to school, you get a job, you're told that you're amazing, you're incredible, and you enjoy what you're doing, and you are growing, and all these things. And then you get married and you have children, and you're told, well, now your life is over. Your life is this child. That's not true. Your child is important, but your child needs to see that you take care of you, because we are teaching our children how to behave and how to treat other people.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to remember.
They learn from examples. So if they 100%. See
you, actions are louder than words.
If they see you neglecting yourself or mistreating yourself or talking badly about yourself, what are they going to do about themselves?
Well, let's say if you have male children and you're female, if the male children see and observe that you're speaking ugly about yourself and treating yourself and not allowing yourself to enjoy your life, they're going to have the expectation that that's how it is. If you have female children, they're going, and this is part of what happened to me. My mother sacrificed a whole lot. She had six children. I'm the oldest of six. She had a degree from Rice University, incredibly, incredibly intelligent person. My father wouldn't allow her to work. You think she didn't struggle? She did. But what I learned from her was that my happiness didn't matter. So we teach our female children what to expect and what to accept.
Yeah.
So think about the message that you're sending. Do you want to send a message to your children? You know what? Everybody is important. Let's encourage people. Let's get into relationship with people where we're building each other up so that we can be the best person that we can ever be.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't really want it written on my gravestone, I was the best mother in the world.
No.
I wouldn't mind if my children say that. They would just tell you that I'm crazy. but I don't want it written on my gravestone that that was my contribution to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. So what are some ways that mamas can break out of this self-neglect and self-abandonment in the name of caring for others, mainly their children, and start saying yes to their joy, their peace, and walking in that, realizing that when you take care of yourself, you're also taking care of your family.
Well, for me, the first thing that I started doing was I set aside time early in the morning. And I do some readings, and I write in a notebook and all these kinds of things. So that's my time. Now, I recognize a lot of people are going to say, I'm so tired, I can't get up early in the morning. You know what? If you can set an alarm to get yourself up 15 minutes earlier, you will find that 15 minutes re-energizes you and gives you enough forward momentum for the day that you don't mind that 15 minutes. And you could possibly even end up growing it to 20 to 30 minutes. But set a time frame that works for you. But I recommend doing it first thing in the morning so that you are starting your day off with acknowledging yourself, speaking affirmations into yourself, energizing yourself, and then you are able to move forward. That's the first thing that I would do. The second thing that I would do is I would recognize that during the day, you probably need a little bit of time. So start teaching your children, even if they are 1 year old, start teaching your children at this time, and you can set alarms, and if you've got Alexa, you know, Alexa can help you out. But anyway, you can start setting alarms, and at, I'm just going to throw a number out there, at 1 o'clock every day, everybody in the house stops what they're doing, and everybody does some quiet activity for 15 to 20 minutes. I'm a person who doesn't really like naps. My kids didn't take naps after they were about 18 months old because I preferred they went to bed at night, like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. But I taught them, you know, 1 o'clock, we stop, everybody does something quiet. That was one thing that I kind of made up as I went along, but it's important. And even now, I have a reminder on my phone that goes off at noon every single day, reminding me to pause and pray.
Yeah.
And so I take, even if it's just, you know, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it is, at noon every single day, I pause and pray. So if you can set time aside for yourself, and what you're saying to the people around you is, I am important. I am taking this time for me so that I can be with you fully.
Yeah.
And not resentfully.
Yeah. Something that I like to do is if I'm solo with my kids and we're driving in the car, instead of listening to what they would like to listen to, I'm the driver, I'm in control of the radio, and I listen to what I want to listen to. And they'll just chill in the back seat, in their car seats, looking out the window. Sometimes they'll tell me to stop singing if I'm listening to music. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. You know, whatever it is at that time that will lift me up, fill my cup a little bit. My son usually falls asleep in the car, so he's usually not a big deal. My daughter, on the other hand, is getting older, so she'll say, Mommy, I don't like that song. Or, Mommy, you're too loud. And like my morning routine, my kids typically just watch a cartoon or something. And they know that when Mommy's sitting on the couch with her journal and her Bible, we don't bug her.
So you've taught them. You have taught them a boundary.
Yeah.
And the beauty of what you've taught them is you have taught them it is okay for me to withdraw from conversation, communication with you. I'm taking care of me. So they are learning it is okay for me to set aside time to be alone. And that is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. Because there are two sets of boundaries that we have. But the most important boundary, the hardest boundary to maintain, the hardest boundary to establish at the beginning is the boundary we have with ourselves. And there you are sitting on the couch with your journal and your Bible, modeling to your children, I have this boundary. When I am doing this, it is your notification that the drawbridge is up and you're not allowed to come in until I put the drawbridge down. That's huge.
So I want to talk just for a minute about the myth of taking care of yourself as a mom being selfish.
Oh my goodness.
Are moms who take care of themselves before their children selfish?
No. That's a short answer. Okay, you drive a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
That car takes what? Gas, or if it's electric, it takes electricity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go anywhere until you put gas or electricity in that car? No.
No, it does not run on water.
Doesn't run on water, does it?
It did, but it
doesn't run on air. It doesn't run on anything. I mean, yeah. That's your only hope is if you're at the top of a hill and you're trying to get to the bottom, and you know, gravity will take over, right?
Yeah.
If we can look at taking care of ourselves the same way we look at putting gas or electricity into our vehicle, then we can understand we can't go until we've done that. Because what we're really doing by not taking care of ourselves is we're praying that our car is at the top of the hill that's going to give us enough of a, you know, run up and acceleration so we can reach our destination without gas or electricity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you resentful of putting the gas or electricity in your car? Well, don't answer that, because the price of gas these days, you know, I get a little bit
resentful. I was going to say, I wouldn't mind if the price of gas dropped. I'm a little resentful over that, but.
Yes, I will be clear. I'm very resentful of the price, but I have an understanding. My car is not going to go, and I live in a part of the world. I live off the about 70 miles north of the Gulf Coast of Texas. Pretty flat around here. You know, the highest hills we have are the overpasses. so I don't really stand much of a chance of being at the top of a hill and getting, you know, enough acceleration to reach my destination. Yeah. So the short answer to your question is mamas, especially mamas who take care of themselves prior to taking care of their children, are not selfish. What they understand is that they've got to put gas or electricity into that car in order to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing selfish about that, because you really don't resent your car for putting the gas or electricity in it.
No.
You resent paying the price, let's be clear. But you don't resent, you know, the act, because you understand, if I don't do this, I cannot accomplish what I wish to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, self-neglect and self-abandonment will not get you very far. When I am not paying attention to my needs, it happens from time to time, and I am solely focused on the needs of my children, the needs of my husband, the needs of this, the needs of my home. I live on a farm. There's a never-ending to-do list. And it's very easy for me to say, well, I just don't have time to do my morning routine, to, you know, do things that fill my cup. And when I neglect those things, I am one hard woman to live with.
Well, don't you find that your day feels kind of distorted?
Yeah. Kind
of out of sync?
Yeah. My mood goes down fast. It's like the car at the top of that hill and gravity takes over.
Well, now there are times, because I'm pretty good about my morning routine, but there are times, for example, this morning, oh my gosh, my dog Zone, I don't know what's wrong with her ears, but she was shaking her head at last night, and finally at midnight, I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I got up and she and I went into the living room, and I sat there on the couch. I said, Leslie, it is way too early for you to be out of bed, because I normally get up around 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I said, turn off the lights, get comfortable. It's cool in here, and, you know, see if you can't get some sleep. So long story short, I ended up sleeping, quote unquote, sleeping until about 4:45. And I woke up, and I said, all right, now I'm a little bit behind on my schedule, but apparently I needed that rest. Mm-hmm. So you know what? We will simply do our morning routine later in the day. Mm-hmm. So that we can re-energize later in the day.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep on moving forward. And that's what I did. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, I slept, you know, too late and I don't have time mm-hmm. to do this and that. No. I recognized apparently I needed the rest. And this is what I needed to do to take care of myself. So one of the things that I learned how to do really quickly was what I call reframing. When I feel or hear those negative thoughts starting in my head, hold on, take a breath. Let's reframe. Let's turn this around so that it's a positive comment. Because I could have gone off, oh my gosh, you know, you overslept, you're behind, da, 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 mm-hmm. da.
Beat yourself up over it.
And that's not helpful. No, it's not helpful. And then you mentioned abandonment. I am really good at abandoning myself. So good at abandoning myself. I could have said, you know, I knew you couldn't do this. I knew you couldn't. So just forget it.
So why even try?
So why even try?
Yep.
And I am so good at abandoning myself. I don't need anybody else to abandon me.
Oh.
Because I'll beat them to it.
Me too.
But I've learned, and this is part of what I talk about in my book, You Can't Eat Love. I've learned that I am enough just as I am, and I don't need to abandon myself. I can love and take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, I'm teaching other people how to love and take care of me. So circling back to your question, is it selfish to do self-care? No, it is not. Because what you are teaching other people is how to treat you. And you're teaching other people what your boundary is. And you're teaching other people, I am a worthy, valuable, incredibly loving human being who is worth everything that this amazing life has to give.
Yeah.
And you don't get a vote on whether or not I am.
Yeah, I talk about this in my book, Rising from the Ashes, Reclaiming Your Life After Traumatic Childhood. People will treat you how you teach them to 100%. Treat you.
Yes.
So if you allow them to walk all over you like a doormat, that is exactly what is going to happen.
Yeah. 100%.
So, yeah. It's, you have more power than you realize.
Yeah. And the one of the books that I read when I went on this journey, and I hope I get the title right, was How to Get the Love You Want. I think that's the title. But if you Google that, it'll come up. And it's talking about, really, the book is talking about how to get the love you want from people in you're in relationship with. Mm-hmm. But for so many of us who are coming from that childhood trauma, mm-hmm. the first relationship that we need to be establishing is the one with ourself.
Oh, yeah.
Because until we have established a loving, healthy relationship with ourselves, we are not going to be able to let other people know what we will accept. Mm-hmm. Because until that time, we are going to accept, as you mentioned, the doormat, we are going to accept whatever there is to accept. Because we're so hungry, we're so thirsty, we are so craving of any kind of attention that we will accept anything, any behavior. However, once we start realizing that we are lovable, amazing, and we start building the relationship with ourselves, start establishing the boundary with ourselves, then you will be incredibly amazed at what happens with the relationships around you.
Oh, yeah.
Because one of the questions or one of the comments my husband made way back when I started shifting was, I don't know what's going on and I'm not sure I like it.
Well.
And I didn't respond to his comment because I knew what he was saying, because I was beginning to quietly teach him what I would no longer accept. Mm-hmm. and what I would now accept.
Yeah.
And he was struggling. So here's to the people who are listening, especially the mamas with young children. When you start clearing up and cleaning up what you will and will not accept, when you start taking care of yourself, recognize the people around you are going to feel the change.
Oh, will they ever?
And this is where it gets hard.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have to decide how important you are, because the people around you are going to want you to go back to where you were.
Yeah, it's like crabs in a bucket.
That's where they are comfortable.
It's like crabs in a bucket, friends.
Yes. They want you to go back to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
So get clear on what you're doing, why you are doing it, and that you are worth it. So
because,
that
Mama, you are worth it.
100%.
You are worth it.
And I want you jumping up and down saying, I am worth it. And when the people around you start trying to pull you back to who you were, and it's like those bad habits,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ones that, and I talk about, you put them in the cellar and you lock all those locks on them, but if you leave one lock unlocked, they all come flying out. These new yep. habits, these new thoughts, these new beliefs, they are new. You have had how many years to lock your old beliefs, your old thoughts, your old everything?
Uh-huh.
That's why it's hard to switch. But when you decide, and if you're struggling, reach out to somebody like Emily. Okay, uh-huh. She is available. She is doing all this stuff. You can even reach out to me if you want to. My contact information is on the website, youcanteatlove.com. But reach out. And say, you know what, this is what I've done, and I'm struggling because the people around me want me to go back to where I was.
Yeah.
And Emily's message about mamahood after trauma is so powerful. Because, yes, you can enjoy being a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you can raise the next generation of healthy
Mm-hmm.
human beings, and I'm talking about emotionally healthy.
Yeah.
Let's break these bonds.
Yeah, you're not defined by the cycle of trauma and dysfunction that you grew up in.
No.
You can make new choices.
Yeah. Put a stake in the ground and say, from now on, I choose
mm-hmm.
to do something different.
Yeah. Wow, this has been an amazing conversation. Leslie, I love chatting with you each and every time we have a conversation. It is just, oh, so good. So, so good. Thank you all so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you liked what you heard, please click the subscribe button, follow the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. And if you have any questions at all, I will attach Leslie's contact information to the show notes of this episode, as well as my website so that you can contact me. Just wanted to mention real quick that the Mamahood After Trauma podcast is now on Instagram. At Mamahood After Trauma podcast. So you can follow us there. If you have any questions, please reach out to me. If you're listening on YouTube, go ahead and drop those in the comments and I will come back and background and answer them. If you are listening on Wisdom or the replays, send me a message, a direct message. Leslie, thank you so much again for joining me. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Always fun talking to you, Emily. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.